Hi there, welcome to this edition of the Arts Roundup. I'm Geraint Jones, and real glad that you could join me. Today I'll be bringing you an overview of historic, contemporary and future cultural events taking place in or emanating from our cultivated island of Cuba. I will be right back. Today in the Arts Roundup, we are continuing to take a look at the rich cultural life in the city and province of Santiago de Cuba. Santiago is undoubtedly an exceptional city in which multiple values are combined that allow the visitor to come into contact with the idiosyncrasy of its people, the culture and history of the place, while enjoying its exotic nature. When Carnival begins in Santiago de Cuba, the whole city turns into a big party. Carnival of Santiago de Cuba is the largest, most famous, and most traditional carnival in all of Cuba, and is an explosion of color, contagious drum rhythms, and dance. It also is a time for Cubans to remember their history, community, and culture, and it's punctuated by the Cuban national holiday of July the 26th. The second biggest city after Havana, Santiago is the most exotic city of Cuba, with lots of different ethnic groups having settled there over the centuries, including African, Chinese, indigenous, Haitian, and Spanish. The mixture of these cultures is shown in the richness of the music and dance, many forms of which originated in Santiago de Cuba, such as the conga, rumba, the son, which later developed into what people today call the salsa. What characterizes the carnival are the congas, which can be heard in many different areas around the city. Also, popular orchestras make their way to Santiago for the festivities. In most Roman Catholic societies, Carnival is a festival held immediately after Lent and celebrated in February and March. However, the Carnaval of Santiago de Cuba is held typically towards the end of July. It's known to have evolved from the summer festivals formerly referred to as the Mamarrachos. In most cases, the way in which the Mamarrachos was celebrated actually had very little to do with the religion which gave the individual days their names. The locals used these dates of public holidays to celebrate in their own way, and the names of the saints were maintained simply for convenience. Perhaps only in the case of St. James Day is there any possible link to a religious meaning in the celebrations, as this saint was adopted as the patron saint of Santiago de Cuba, and the dates of modern carnival towards the end of July nearly always coincide with St. James Day on July the 25th. The exact age and origin of their Mamarrachos are unknown. The word Mamarrachos does not itself appear in written records until 1757. The festivals themselves are known to have occurred as early as 1679. It is recognized, however, that the Mamarrachos of the 1800s were even more intense and elaborate celebrations than they are today. They included throwing objects and liquids at the participants as well as people not participating. Traditional foods such as ajiaco, empanadas, omelets, fritters, fruits, fried or roast pork with boiled plantain. Included horse racing, performances by theatrical groups, paseo, a parade of animal-drawn carriages, bonfires, carrying torches on pilgrimages to sanctuaries, consumption of aguardiente and yara rum, beer, the wearing of costumes and masks, masked balls with live music, and dancing in the style of contradanza, danza, danzón, rigadón, and waltz. There was verse singing in the styles known as cantos de puyas, which were insulting and mocking songs, and monte polo, which was a massive parade on the last day that gathered together all the participants in one big rollicking performance to mark the end of the festivities for that year. One of the most critical elements of Santiago de Cuba are the comparsas. They are street performances or parades, which are comprised of musical groups and associated troops of costumed dancers. There are generally two categories, paseos and congas. Conga comparsas were composed mainly of ordinary citizens, with the band being mostly percussion instruments. These were larger conglomerations of dancers compared to the paseos. The paseos tended to be more lavish and required more capital, included more of a modern European-style orchestra. What the participants of the Conga Compasas lacked in material goods, they had to make up for in inventiveness. So it was through the conga that the unique characteristics of the music and dance of Carnaval of Santiago de Cuba was evolved. More on the wider culture of Santiago in future editions of the Arts Roundup. In one of the halls of the National Ballet of Cuba, the BNC, the first dancer, Vigse Valdez, is rehearsing with Danny Hernandez one of the most difficult pieces of the company's repertoire, Theme and Variations. Jorge Balanchín, George Balanchín, created Theme and Variations for Alicia Alonso in 1947. Apparently, Balanchín did not make it easy for the dancer, and the sessions were almost a battle. The work was assembled from challenge to challenge. For Vigse Valdez, as everyone knows, a trial is never taken lightly. She says, imagine this, a ballet conceived for Alicia. You have to be up to it. You have to do it very well. Vigse Valdez is no longer simply one of the first dancers. She is now the general director. She has to give this interview in her break in her dancing shoes. Quote, the support of the government, cultural institution, artists and the public has been remarkable. After her appointment, recently received congratulations from Raúl Castro himself. She says, he saw me dance many times, and the fact that he's taken me into account with his congratulations, based on admiration and respect, knowing that perhaps I was the right person, has been a very pleasant surprise and encouraging. A very great commitment on my part. This commitment is based on continuity and on renewal. It is clear that ballet is not a museum art. Continuity, of course, implies respect for a historical legacy, but it does not exclude renewal, an evolution, an update of Cuban ballet. I think that without losing our essences, without forgetting our roots, we can and should contribute a lot to the company, to its repertoire, to the daily work in the salons and its results on stage. There is much that still can be done. Dancers need versatility. It is a necessity to develop not only in the great classics of the repertoire, which is what our company has done all above all, we also need dancers to have a capacity, a wide range of styles that can allow them to function with any choreographer in any language. That is vital. You cannot tell us this company has specialized only in one aspect of the dance. Ideally, we should be considered an integral company possessing an international label. A seal, of course, that highlights the whole. It's not about stimulating individualism, but the range, the diversity of styles and expressions. That's what I want to offer to the dancers, to complete the technical and artistic development of all of them. And that's it from me for today on the Arts Roundup. I'm Gerwin Jones.